Welcome back, Buffalo Nation, to another Off the Board episode. I'm your host, AJ Sims, and with me are my phenomenal co-hosts, Felix Vargas, Jaime Sanchez, and Anthony Keithley. Dive into the exhilarating world of cornhole, and you'll come across a dynamic personality who's been revolutionizing the way fans connect with the game. He is the owner and founder of the K9 Unit and a brand that's become a beacon of unparalleled streaming services. Their mantra is all about keeping the fans connected and ensuring no cornhole enthusiast ever misses out on the action. And if you thought that was all, then think again. Alongside the fabulous Michelle Thompson, he's the magnetic co-host of Bagging and Bragging, the show, a podcast that's all rave in the cornhole community. From an in-depth interviews with ACL pro players and discussions on the sport's best bets, the show is a blend of insights, banter, and pure cornhole love. In the sprawling ecosystem of the ACL, he has carved a niche for himself as the digital content producer. And for those that in the know, his Facebook page is a treasure trove of exclusive content, collaborations, and giveaways. Meet Wally K9 Kessler.
What up, boys?
What's going on, Wally? Bro?
Man, AJ, the adjective assassin. Over there.
Hey,
come on,
man. Hey, you know how it is, man. You got somebody coming. We want to welcome you properly, man. You know,
man, that's legendary, bro.
Hey, and everything you do in the game, man, you deserve a welcome that way, man. So, and we appreciate you having us today, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I appreciate you all having me on. Been listening to you guys on the road on these long drives, so. Cool to be on the other side of it now.
All right, so man, I've been always wondering this. Like, we see you all the time. We talk to you. You know what I'm saying? You're very approachable, man. You're a people's person. Like, you're like, you know everything about cornhole. You're in the know. But what we don't know is the intriguing nickname K9. Like, where did that originate from?
All right, so basically, it's just gonna be real simple, man. Last name's Kessler, starts with a K, and my baseball number was 9. So whenever I had the license plate, Wally K9, that's the only thing that fit. And then I rear-ended a girl in a white Volkswagen that's like parked next to me, you know. So in the license plate, you saw K9, and people were like, "Was that you that did that?" Yeah, that's me.
That's me.
That's so funny. I thought you liked dogs or something, man. I didn't know.
I love dogs, man. So my logo is basically, I got a husky. So I want to do something that kind of signifies good, bad, you know, new, old stuff like that. So that's why I did like the yin and yang approach with the dog's face and. We got my husky on there too, showing her some love. So that's pretty cool, man.
Solid, man. Yeah.
Cool, man. I'm good with that, Wally. Like I said, I got a husky myself, man. Yeah. So how'd you get into the whole streaming of cornhole? I mean, I know it's kind of unique. So what kind of sparked that idea? How'd that get that started for you?
Yeah, man. So basically started all with softball, like pretty much half of the cornhole players. I mean, we're just kind of sitting there playing some cornhole in between softball tournaments. You know, you get along 3-4 hour waits. So we're sitting there playing. And then we got a local bar we go to down the street after softball tournaments. Mm-hmm. Hung out there for a little bit. You know, I had an injury. I broke my finger, so I can't bend my middle finger anymore. And kind of took the softball days out of it. And I got hit by a truck. I don't know if you guys saw. I showed that picture on Facebook a little bit ago. Snapped my leg in half. So basically, wow. All the injuries started racking up. And then I was hanging out at the bar one day. One of my buddies, he's like, "Hey, you're actually pretty good. Why don't you come out and play at our regional?" And I was like, "No, I'm not that good. I'm not signed up for nothing." He's like, "Oh, you don't have to be. Just come out and we'll get your feet wet." And went out there and had some fun, man, and basically, you know, got my ass kicked for, you know, 7-8 months in a row, and then finally got to the point where I took it competitively, got my first big win over a pro and decided, you know, we don't have any ACL tournaments around us. Let's go ahead and start up our own, you know. We started running tournaments, you know, like any typical intermediate competitive player, you know, you get a little jealous of the pros getting all the spotlight all the time. So mm-hmm. I said, all right, I'm running the show. I'm not good enough. I'm going to focus all my attention on the intermediate and comp players. And figure out what we got to do to get them good enough to compete with the pros. So, you know, I basically started mixing with different camera angles, making sure that all these up-and-coming players that actually wanted to take it serious had some footage of themselves, and then kind of tweaked their throw just off of what I saw a little bit, and it seemed to help. So I just kept doing it and ran local tournaments, ran some regionals, just kind of played video games and streaming. Mm-hmm. I said, man, let's just combine all these worlds and see what I could do with it. And it ended up actually being a pretty cool product.
Oh, man. Cool, that's man. Awesome. Hey, what was that pro you beat, man? Just kind of put it out there. What was that pro you beat?
Man, I got to give a shout out to my boy Brian Jones, dude. He's one that ran all these tournaments out here for us. He's a local guy in Jerseyville. He's kind of transitioning into volleyball coaching right now. Still runs a lot of tournaments, and he's always been rooting for me, you know. And
nice.
Once I had him down 20-18, I basically accidentally clogged a hole on a bad push. I played really solid up until that point, and then he called a timeout, and that's when it hit me. I was like, man, he doesn't have a shot. like I'm about to win this game. I look over, I see my boys, Louie and Willie, and they're like, you got it, man.
You got it.
So he took that shot, and before his bag even landed, man, he just brought me in, big old bear hug, and like, dude, finally, man, let's go. So, yeah, Brian Jones is the reason I basically even do this.
Hey, Brian Jones is a legend, man. I know people don't see him that much in the game, but when I started in the game, he was one of those names you heard about all the time, like when you would watch, you know, matches and legendary matches back in the day. So shout out to Brian Jones, man. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. Yeah, he's an OG. And then Jerry Wolford, my other guy, we ran the tournaments for the ACL out here. So we kind of built St. Louis, and then we just opened a cornhole bar here. Tommy Peak is taking over to a whole new level, so. A lot of things coming, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, you name dropping some OGs, man. He named Jerry Wolford too. That was my boy too. What's up? Shout out to Jerry, man.
Yeah.
So transitioning from a fan to integral part of the ACL as a digital content producer, it's quite a journey. How did it all begin for your journey with the ACL?
Yeah, so pretty much the story with every single thing in my life, man. You have one bad thing that turns into something good. I mean, I've been kind of living my motto that God will put me where he wants me to be when he wants me to be there. And a lot of things kind of trickle off of that thought process. So I'm kind of going way back, broke up with a girl in a warehouse, started working a cell phone store. You know, one of my customers like owns an accounting firm. I had a master's degree in accounting I never used, started working at the accounting firm, you know, got paid over in St. Louis, big bucks. And then they decided to let me go and fire me. And I said, because basically I wanted a raise. Like I was training people who were, you know, I was training people who were making more than me. And I was asking for a raise. And they said, you know, we'll have to kind of see how things go. COVID hit. My dad's health started declining with cancer. And then, you know, he passed away. And then at that point, I was just like, man, I don't care. You know, COVID, this sucks. I hate working from home. I'm a people person. And then I basically just kind of slacked off on the job, went back to work. It was never the same. And they were like, you know, how are we going to pay you more if you're not motivated to work for us? I said, well, how am I going to get motivated? Don't pay me more.
Yeah.
And at that point, we're just kind of, it's done. You know what I mean? So they let me go on July 31st. And then I guess somebody backed out from when they did the four broadcast courts at Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So they hit me up and they asked me if I wanted to come out and do it. They paid for the hotel. And then basically, I don't even think I got paid to work it. I was just like, yeah, let me take the opportunity to go. So basically July 31st fired, August 2nd started broadcasting world championships. I didn't have any matches. So basically I pulled up the Ultra live feed and started commentating their matches like on delay, you know?
Right.
And Trey Ryder was standing behind me. He's like, are you commentating their match on their court? I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh man, I'm about to get fired. And he's like, that's genius. I'm like, okay, cool. That could have got
worked. It worked.
Yeah. So he was pretty happy that, you know, I actually cared about the product and, basically, you know, with not having a job, I had plenty of time to travel and go on the road, and they did a little test run. It seemed to work out, and somehow I survived off of like 20K a year, to the point where they hired me on. So yeah, everything works out, man. Like I said, got to put you where he wants you to be when he wants you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the ACL having so much talent, who stands out as your favorite player or team, and what makes them so special to watch?
Oh man, you know, I always got something in my heart for Ryan Wiedenfeld. Just the first conversation I had with that kid, it was 3.5 minutes long. Hey, do you want to be sponsored by K9 Unit? Yeah. All right, man, that'd be really cool. I'm excited to have you. Yeah, me too. Thanks. All right, cool. Ryan Wiedenfeld, great conversationalist. And then I go up to a tournament in South Dakota, and he comes over to me. He's like, hey, what are you doing here? I'm excited to see you. I didn't think you'd come all the way. It just like opened up, and I was like, whoa, okay. You know, he does talk. And then just kind of seeing him grow and kind of develop a personality now. You know, I always got a special place in my heart for Ryan Wiedenfeld. I kind of like latching on to the up-and-coming talent. Braden Wilson, Ryan Trader, obviously the two new ones. Everybody's forefront. I mean, AJ knows about Braden. But just the young personalities, man, that we're starting to get in this sport. As far as favorite team goes, I mean, there's really not too many teams that stick together anymore. So I guess as far as who I want to watch this year, man, I'm kind of interested to see if Smith and Wiedenfeld can take it to another level.
Hosting and streaming events is definitely no easy feat. Among all the events that you've been a part of, what's been the most challenging and why has it?
Oh, man. For us, it was regional number one. The first time we ran a regional, we knew we had support. I mean, we had Brian Jones in our corner. Jerry Wolford was, you know, running the show. We had Jen Jones and Jen Lewis. Shout out to those ladies. I mean, they were behind the scenes, Excel spreadsheets, supplies, anything we need, they took care of it. So those ladies deserve a lot of credit. And then we had Jeremy Wheeler from Springfield, Illinois. So St. Louis, we kind of had a lot of areas around us. We just didn't know how big it would be. So, you know, we had 13 courts. We're like, okay, we could do this. You know, we're in the back of a Kokomo Joe's, like in a shipping area. And then we had 168 people show up for region number one.
Oh, wow.
13 courts. We ran women's, seniors, juniors, singles, doubles. We lost the venue right after that tournament because we were there till like 2:30 in the morning, getting it all done. Live streams, as you guys know, man, that technology either works or it don't. And I've been doing this for 3 years, and I think I've done maybe one or two tournaments where the technology's worked in my favor the entire way. But getting through that first regional, man, just wanting to know if we could do it and then overcoming it, man, that was the tough one.
All right, so I want to talk to you about something. You know, if you can't discuss it or you don't want to discuss it, that's fine. But at this last Open, you know, that there was some questions about the boards and the measurements. You know, that was brought up. You want to shed any light on that from your viewpoint? Bro.
For me, man, as long as it ain't going to get me in trouble with the ACL, I don't care about talking about anything. I'm open book, so ask away. Personal life, whatever. It don't matter, man. You guys have a ball here.
Cool.
But yeah, as far as the board measurements go, man, I'm going to start with the defensive part first and I'll kind of get into it. So the ACL has a lot of rules in place that we already know that we really can't enforce yet. We can't have an official on every single court like we want to, you know, the step over rule, you know, touching the bags out of turn, stuff like that, throwing out of turn. You know, that's one of the ones where like, hey, get the bag back. You know, I don't care. I don't want to win that way. But the rules are always in place, but you have to basically get an official to, you know, enforce the rule. You know what I mean? So the whole step over rule, you have to call somebody out. You have to get them there. The board measurements, I mean, I don't understand why the boards would have moved, but whenever we're setting up the court, we always have a tape measure there for you guys to measure before each match if you want to. And I would probably say 90% of the pros and one down and back can tell if their airmail is off or if the boards are off. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we all know. I know, and I suck. Like, I can tell if the boards are off. But don't be afraid to ask for the tape measure, man. I got no problem with it. But, like, once the tournament started, once I'm doing my thing, man, I don't have any time. I'm on a two-minute commercial break. I know Noah Wooten's like, man, I stared at that commercial break the whole time. I was like, dude, I ain't just sitting there chilling. Like, I'm doing stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm working hard. But whenever we have people come set up the courts and they measure it out, and they look at me and they say, perfect, measured it twice, it's perfect. I'm going to take their word for it. If I have extra time, I'll go measure it out. I'll go double check. You know what I mean? And then to my understanding, the directors were asked to measure every court, and I thought they did. So I just kind of thought it'd be the same. I said, all right, tape it down. So whenever Logan measured it and kind of found out that it was off, I also took his word that it was off. You know what I mean? I didn't go out there and measure it to see if he was right or wrong. I just took his word for it. So the players put it where it wanted to. And I don't even think it was Logan that asked for it. I think it was Alex Hicks that asked for the measurements. Like, Alex is not afraid to say it. So whenever they got it fixed, I mean, I don't think there's any complaints afterwards. But, I mean, that could have been answered on day one, you know, and resolved there for the rest of the weekend. Same thing with the pucks, man. Like, a lot of people were saying the boards were extra, extra bouncy. But they didn't address the situation until, like, Sunday.
Right.
Right.
And I'm like, man, if you guys – we could have had whole different champions if, you know, if that would have been addressed Friday. Yeah.
Just say something.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, dude. It's like, I want it right, too. I want it perfect. It's just, it's a lot that goes into it. Now, I did have a conversation earlier this morning that I think aesthetically you guys are going to like. And as far as measuring stuff out, you guys might like. I know there was a comment that was addressed this topic, but we might be getting a VersaCourt for the live feeds on Open. So.
Oh, wow.
We will see. You have to figure out how to, one, how to ship it there, two, how to put it together and all that type of stuff. But yes, I mean, again, you address a problem, we do our best to make it work to everyone's benefit. So I think that was a positive, negative in a way.
No, absolutely. And I want to say from the players, you know, because you're not just because you're on our show, but man, we appreciate what you guys do. We know that it's not easy. We're not going to pretend that it is easy. So we appreciate everything you do. And, you know, you're going to hear pros that's going to complain. I mean, especially sometimes when stuff isn't going their way, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, it's always stuff like that. So, but at the end of the day, man, we appreciate what you guys are doing. We know that it's not just as easy as, hey, measure it and then leave it. Like, you guys are putting a lot of, you know, effort into what y'all doing. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate you guys as well. And all the players. I mean, I love all the players. I mean, there'd be times where I might not give you guys the best light or I might say something you guys might not like, man, but I got respect for each and every one of you guys.
Appreciate that.
I appreciate that, Wally. I mean, we know we've, like I said, you've blown up with the streaming with K9 and all that, and we know that you're offering merch and streaming services. So what's next on your horizon for you and your team?
Oh, man. So that's actually a really good question. So that's one reason why I've been losing sleep these last 2 or 3 weeks. So the first thing I'm trying to organize is the website. So the website, caninecornhole.com. I got all the merch on there. Apparel's released. I have all the pro players that I signed. They have a discount code. So if you want to support one of these pros, you know, they get a percentage of the sales by using their discount code on anything in the shop. You could also book the services on there. So if you guys are looking at streaming services, for example, I'm going to Battle of the Queens this weekend. Next weekend, I'll be at Badgerland Bag Brawl. And the week after that, I'll be at the Mid-Atlantic Conference. So conferences, state tournaments, big cash tournaments, whatever, man. Don't be afraid to reach out. I'm driving 13 hours.
And oh, then, wow.
Yeah. So 13 hours this week, 8 hours next week, and 13 hours the week after that. I mean, just continue to try and grow the brand. The website is getting revamped now. So that way, if you're interested in following one of these pros, they're basically getting to not go live on Facebook anymore. They're going to start going live over on my site.
Nice.
And then at that point, we'll have subscriptions and you can, pick your tiers. So let's say you want to watch two pros, $5 a month, and then five pros, $10, and then all the pros, $20 a month. And then as you can see, you know, all the sponsors and stuff that I'm involved with, we're going to do plenty of giveaways again, starting January 1st, giveaway boards, bags, apparel, everything, man. I always kind of like to give back to the community after all. I'm nothing without the viewers. So, I just want to continue to get the website where I want it to be. And then hoping January 1st, man, we can make a huge push as far as getting those subscriber numbers up. Cause you know, I love working for the ACL. I don't know what their vision is going forward. I imagine they want to have me on board because we're continuing to improve everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, man, I got to have a backup plan, and K9 unit could be that.
Always. So, you know, everybody knows your catchphrases. It's iconic in the cornhole community. Where did these come from? You know, the awkward knuckles, social.
Yeah, man. So basically, like, you know, saying cheers or something like that wasn't really fun for me. It just didn't come off well. So I was basically playing like a drinking game. I think it was either Circle of Death or President or something. I can't remember what it was, but basically you draw four and everyone takes a drink and say social. So it's like everyone puts everything down the middle. They deserve a little applause and take the drink, tip it up to them, social. Cheers that way. Then awkward knuckles, man. Like I said, I broke my finger. I can't bend it. So there you go. So anytime I get knuckles, you know, it kind of sticks
awkward.
Out. Yeah. So I kind of made it like that. And then there's that awkward moment where it's, I mean, we saw last year, I think it was Hunter Thorne and Tubby Cobb where they were. That was a selling point for me. I was like, dude, we got to do something with this. So. Yeah, awkward knuckles jerseys have been demanded, and I finally was able to push those through this year too. So check the website out for that. But man, now just something happens, dude, and it seems to kind of stick. And I just kind of keep repeating it over and over and over again because I have a platform, and why not? And then people seem to enjoy it for the most part.
Do you have any idea who was the first who gave the first set of awkward knuckles ever on a broadcast?
Oh, on like a broadcast
or maybe live stream, either one. Where the first time you said it, where you were commentating?
Man, I don't know, dude. I really don't. I mean, I would say it'd probably be something like Damon Dennis because we usually do seniors first. But yeah, I'm not really sure.
Oh man, making sense, man. So going into you talked about the things you do and bagging and bragging the show. It's quickly become like one of the fan favorites. You know, can you share a memorable behind the scenes moment from the podcast?
Oh man. There's plenty of times where like I can't remember who the guest was, but you know, me started talking and then like on their screen, they were seeing the recording light. On my screen, it was still showing push to record. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So she's in their spiel. They're guessing, you know, the guest is all into it and stuff like that. I'm just sitting here. I'm like, are you going to hit record? And then like the guest was just like, oh, way to be professional. I'm like, dude, I don't know. It's like, doesn't show that it recorded for me, man. But just it's really, really awkward whenever, you know, Misha's really, really good at what she does. She is a professional at the timing, getting the breaks, you know, making sure all the production runs well. You can see on her other show, she does a good job of reining in Anthony and Trey and keeping them on time. But yeah, I had my doubts on her. And at that point, she's just like, just trust me. I was like, all right, from now on, I trust you. But yeah, that was really awkward, man. Cause I'm just sitting there and she's like, oh, did we lose him? I'm like, no, I'm waiting for you to hit record.
Hey, yo, attention all cornhole players out there. Do your new bags get in the way of your perfect shot? Well, say no more.
We have the Buffalo Bag Butter. That's a game changer you've been waiting for. This secret potion will make your bags tournament ready in a single evening.
With just a dab along the seams, your bags will be prepped and primed for showtime.
Our all-natural formula ensures your bags get the treatment they deserve.
Hey, and for all you off-the-board fans out there, here's the winning shot. Use code KASSLER at checkout for an exclusive 15% off just for you. That's KASSLER, KASSLER, for a special 15% discount on your Buffalo Bag Butter order.
Your path to victory shouldn't be blocked by stubborn bags.
Now slide over to victory and get your Buffalo Bag Butter today.
Now let's dive back into this episode with Wally, K9 KASSLER.
So of all the things you do for the ACL, what is your favorite? Like, what is your favorite job? Is it the live streams or is it the hosting of the teams? Like, of everything you do, like, which one, what's your favorite?
Man, set up and tear down sucks, so you can take those two off the table. I'd probably say commentating doubles for me is a lot of fun. I like finding the guests for our podcast and kind of going through the show. It's really hard to kind of juggle all the timing, especially with the trips that I have to take. You know, sometimes I'll land on Monday. We might have to make a special occasion where we record, and then I'll do like ACL live Monday night, record the show Tuesday morning, edit it, and fly back out again on Wednesday. So it's kind of like the podcast is fun and all if the timing works out for it. But sometimes it can be a timing headache. Man, just whenever everything is set up and running, we got done troubleshooting everything on Friday. You know, I'm kind of mingling with my friends that are there. And, you know, during rounders, I don't have to go live, so I get to interact with you guys a little bit more. I'm kind of in a better mindset once all the technology stuff goes out the window and we're fine. But, yeah, just commentating doubles I think is fun for me. And then I really, really do love, like, the family dinners that we have after, you know, after we get done tearing down. We just, all the crew, we get together, we go out to, like, a nice restaurant, and we all save our budget for, like, that one last meal, you know. It's mm-hmm. kind of like our last hurrah, and we go big sometimes, usually with like that seafood boat. I'm not sure if you guys seen that picture before. Crab legs, lobster, all that stuff.
Oh, man.
I don't go all out, huh?
Yeah.
As a digital content producer for the ACL, how do you envision the future of the Cornhole's digital presence?
Oh, man. All right. So good thing I had this meeting this morning then, because I think what I want to do big picture wise is I want to get the other I want to get the live feed court perfect, by the way. Like, I'm talking ESPN style production with our ACL budget. So not going to be 30, 50 people, but I want to get the few people that we do have involved to perfect this, you know, task that we're doing. Once we get that done, I wanted to expand into the Nationals. And then I want to do something kind of like the NFL does with the Red Zone, where basically I'll be sitting in front of a green screen. We'll have probably 20, 30 courts with cameras on it. And basically, I would be able to tap into any match that I want to. Be like, all right, AJ is battling right now against Eddie. Let's go ahead and tap into court 34 real quick.
Nice.
And now wow. I just start commentating that match. Obviously, there'd be a subscription. And hopefully to pay my salary would be like probably $150 a minute, something like that.
Worth it.
Oh, yeah, man, that's solid. Man, I would love.
But no, I think that'd be really cool.
No, man. That'd be really cool, man. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I could sit there on Sunday and watch, like I said, that Red Zone all day without even watching any games. Just kind of goes.
100%, bro.
Yeah. So, no, I like that idea. Never. I mean, that's kind of neat that you actually thought about that, because that'll be something cool to see going forward.
Yeah, if it actually gets pulled off, it'd be really cool. So, I mean, I hear every single complaint out there, guys. I read all the messages. I'm aware of everything. And even then, I know it's going to be like, hey, you should go to this match. It's more important, you know, whatever. But I want to get to the point where you guys all have options. You take us out of it. You can complain all you want, but we're still going to make moves in the right direction. This conversation that we just had here, it's already been going on for like a year and a half. I mean, nice. The live feeds and everything that we've doing, we've been putting in work for like the last year. It's not something that you snap your fingers and make happen. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. Just you know, even just getting the equipment. For me, getting to the point where I'm at now, I spent $13,000 last month, or actually September, on equipment for the canine unit live feeds. And I hope what you guys get to see this weekend is going to be basically the culmination of 15 to 16 months of hard work. So we're finally ready.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, man. So you talk about these live streams that you've been doing. Like, what was the single most memorable moment you captured on one of your live streams? Like, it could be a match, it could be a moment, it could be some bantering. Like, do you have anything that sticks out as like, wow, I was happy I was able to capture that moment?
Yeah, there were two. The first one was, I guess it was kind of bad. The Gore Boys against Berkeley Pair and Trevor Brooks in Virginia Beach. Same tournament, actually, in Virginia Beach. But in that one match, I basically got to watch great cornhole. They were all just balling out. It was awesome. I got to capture Trey Ryder in the stands watching like a fan. I don't know if you guys have ever had a chance to watch Trey, but whenever he actually watches, he's very excitable. He gets into it like a little kid. It's amazing. And at the end, there was like some accidental controversy because he didn't realize he was trying to shake his hand. And then Trevor said something, and then the Gores said something back. And like, I was like, okay, we got to go to a commercial. And I asked Trey, I was like, if there's actually a fight, man, like, do I have permission to just record it?
Record it.
And he's like, oh yeah, absolutely. I'm like, all right, cool. But so that was kind of one memorable moment. But then later on that tournament, probably the next day, just the Matt Guy against Baby Goat, 47 round,
nice. You
know, 60 plus double four baggers or whatever it was in the match, or four baggers. I mean, that was just amazing to call. There, it wasn't just a simple hole for hole. It was blocking, skilled, airmail, collects, all that stuff. I mean, that was an amazing match to call, and I don't think it'd be topped.
Oh, man. I watched that actually on your live stream, so I remember. So we appreciate you actually having that because, man, yeah. If when you're a fan and you can't be there, having a high-quality live stream to actually watch means everything. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy to just watch a phone live, too. But just having a true live stream to be able to capture that, I never envisioned this, like, years ago when I started, to be able to watch and feel like you're there with the great commentary. So, man, seeing that match in there, I felt like I was there. I felt the emotions of the moment. I felt the calls. And you're right. It was airmails. It was roll bags. It was shots. And I agree. I don't think there's a match that will top that match. You know, I mean, he has some good on the broadcast court with the, you know, Phil Lopez, you know, airmail that he had at the end of that one championship. But that live stream as far as the singles game,
there's a few honorable mentions. I mean, I haven't got a chance to go watch it. I know Jake Gore had a good one against KB at the National. I think that was Detroit.
Yeah, that was a good game.
I still haven't seen Birchfield Holland, that long matchup. I know Ryan Smith and Harbaugh. I haven't seen that one yet, but I mean, there's some really good matches. But I mean, just something about that match was special. I mean, I called who I wanted to see early in the day when the brackets were out. I believe there were 8 brackets. It was absolutely packed field, and I was like, oh man, how cool would it be if Baby Goat plays against the Goat in the finals? And then the final 8 bracket came out, and I was like, oh, they're on opposite ends. Like, this could actually happen. And then the buildup, you know, getting to that point and then actually seeing the numbers go from 600 viewers to 1,000 to 1.5 to 2 to 3,000. I'm like, holy crap, dude, this is amazing. Seeing not just the sport or the kid or the skill, but just seeing everything grow at the same time. It was really cool to watch, dude.
Well, you mentioned the whole canine and all that, and all the traveling that you're doing. How do you determine which opens you go to? Is there a certain amount that you got to go to throughout the year, or do you kind of try to stay local? How does that work?
No, so I pretty much go to all of them. The way that it worked this year is I was hired to do a tournament before the schedule came out. So I will not be in Tiverton. I'll be doing that cash tournament in Wisconsin, the Badgerland Bag Brawl. And it kind of works out because we're going to try and get the other staff up to speed as far as commentating and the new equipment that we're going to use for the next season. And then I think the next one after that is Memphis, but I'll be hired to do Mid-Atlantic Conference. Ashley Kearns asked me to do that one. So we're also trying to branch the ACL live feeds out into states and conference tournaments.
Nice.
So if there's any conferences or state tournament directors that are interested in getting exposure to their players, because I mean, that's the whole reason I started. It's not about the pros all the time. Mm-hmm. We could see them. We can go to the digital network and see them all the time, man. But a chance to see yourself on a live feed, play against a pro, like that's the cool moment for a lot of these players. Yeah, I think the other one after that is Virginia. I'm not going to make that one because I'll be going to Australia. So I need to head out there early, make sure the whole 20 some hour flight time that I got to deal with, I'm not risking a 48 minute layover in LA. Yeah. So, nah. I'm getting there a couple of days early, just going to hang out in California in December, then go there. But for the most part, man, I pretty much do them all unless there's something that comes up.
So one thing we always like to do with our guests is, you know, give shout outs to their sponsors and even for you, your sponsorees.
Oh, man. All right. So I'm going to forget all of them. So feel free to head over to caninecornhole.com. Check them out. Siva's the new one. We haven't really announced that one yet. So let me see if I can do it. All right. So I got six bag of sponsors. We got Siva, Brotherhood, BG, Dragon Bags. I'm missing two already, huh? I knew I was going to do that.
We could edit it.
Yeah. So anyway, whoever you guys are, I apologize. Onboard Apparel, Merc Boards. I mean, there's a lot of sponsors that I have that believe in me. They're the reason I'm able to get this new equipment, stuff like that. All the pro players that I have, again, check out the website. They will be able to have their own page. You guys can just go straight up, donate to them. And one thing that I want to say is that people don't realize how powerful a dollar is. So if I have 1,000 viewers and all of you guys donate a dollar or something like that, that could be the world of difference to some of these pro players. I mean, they might not be able to make it to a tournament, but if we go look at their donations and they have $500 in donations and I take care of their hotel room, they come and they win that tournament, then they get higher up in the rankings and they get more sponsors down the road. I mean, you never know what all adding it up together if we work together can do. So, I mean, I can think of a lot of worse things that we've done in our lives with a dollar or $5, you know, so. Any type of support is definitely appreciated, man. But I just want to give a shout out to, you know, Mish. She's not only a great co-host and, you know, person for the ACL, but she's a great friend. She's there for me behind the scenes stuff. A lot of you guys either know or don't know, but I suffer from depression and I basically battle trying to become a perfectionist in an imperfect, you know, frame of mind and body. So, I mean, you know, I'm always battling stuff like that. And that's where she comes in clutch. Just a lot of people that are behind the scenes that support me. I wouldn't do it without them. So shout out to all of them. And then of course, you know, the kiddo, I love my kiddo. Wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for her. So shout out to Jade.
Nice, man. Good deal. Good hearing that, man.
Solid, man. Like I said, we're mental health advocates here. You know, and we talked about it before, you know, previous episodes, but man, yeah, it's very valuable to be able to express yourself and talk, you know, about things you got going on. We support you. We support everyone.
It's hard, man. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been to an open, hung out, shook hands, high five, had a drink, gone back to hotel room and just cried for no reason. Like, yeah. It happens, man. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but whenever depression wants to pop its head, man, it'll be there.
Hey, man, we appreciate you. Like I said, your transparency, man. We pray that your transparency helps somebody else, you know, to be able to, you know, you having a, you know, the platform that you have and being able to talk about, you know, subjects like that. That's ultimately what it's about, man. Sometimes we think we all come in throwing bags and doing live courts and stuff like that. But, man, you never know a situation and stuff that you're dealing with might be able to help and deliver somebody else. So, man, we appreciate your vulnerability and, you know, being able to talk about certain things like that. Do you have any questions for us? Because we know, like, we'd like for experts, you know, guys like, you know, your stature. If you got any questions for us, like, here's the opportunity to ask them.
All right, I'm going to fire them off one at a time. You ready?
Here we go.
All right, Felix. Felix, what's the next level you're getting to this year, man?
Next level?
Yeah.
Stop, man. Come on.
You ain't content where you're at, right?
Definitely not.
All right, so what's the next level? 50, 20, 10, 5?
No, top 10.
Top 10, okay. Yeah. Jaime, do you care about what your throw looks like?
No. No, and it's funny you say that because there's a bunch of people that say that, and like I said, a previous guest, I mean, Anthony, he kind of like touched on that. And I always say, when ACL gives us additional points for style, then I worry about how my bag looks. But if it goes in the hole, it goes in the hole. That's all I worry about. I know last season, I mean, when AJ and I partnered up and throwing the carpet, that was one thing that was on my mind. I had to admit that I was like, I got to get a flat bag. I got to get a flat bag to throw this carpet bag. But after a while, just the speed of the boards and the condition, it's just like, man, at the same point, it's like, Hey, if it goes in the hole, it goes in the hole. Because I've seen guys like, I mean, and no offense to any of them, like Matt Guy and all them, like they ain't got the flattest bag either, but it goes in the hole and he's considered one of the best players in this game and doesn't have the prettiest bag at the same time.
Yeah, no, I did the same thing with Matt. Like I have a claw grip. I got the broken finger like we've talked about plenty of times. And I do a claw grip and I throw basically like a 45 degree tilt on my bag.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I've learned that there's positives with that. My airmail is skinnier. I don't have to worry about hitting bags because I can, you know, go on left side, right side, whatever with it.
Right.
And then whenever you put a blocker up, I can get left to right movement on the right side of the board, cutting around it.
Exactly.
And if I see a little itty bitty lane, man, I can get good bullies out of it. So I've learned to live with it.
Yeah.
Don't listen to them flat baggers, man.
Exactly.
All right, AJ, how's it feel to be Braden Wilson's sidekick?
Jump on that bandwagon.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, it feels incredible. I like it. Hey, when I was at Spencer, it's like, because, I mean, for years, like, I've been the one, hey, man, can you take a picture of us? Can you take a picture of us? Can you take a picture? Well, Spencer McKenzie's a kid came up, and he's like, hey, excuse me, can you take a picture? And, you know, I'm getting ready to take a picture with him. He's like, no, you know, hey, can you take the picture of me and Braden? Hey, and I went to Nicole, and I told her, like, that's his mom. I went to Nicole, told her what happened. She's like, no way that happened. I was like, yeah, no, it absolutely happened. And, like, it's a great perspective, like, because, you know, at the end of the day, man, I want him to get all the glory. I want him to get all of it. Like, I've been doing this for a while. You know, if he comes in and it gives him extra motivation to be able to be the top dog, go for it, bro. As long as we win, I don't care what my position is. So I'm absolutely fine with that.
Yeah, no, I love the pairing, man. I love both of you guys, and I think it's going to be an exciting season for you guys. It was kind of fun to watch you guys on Gavin's first K9 sponsored live feed when you guys played in the finals. That was really good stuff, man.
No, appreciate it, man.
Final one over there, my man. When are you gonna hop on a mic with me, dude?
Oh, we need a repeat, man. I did horrible that last time.
He was like, I was the most time that I was church mouse.
Yeah,
it was bad. Hey, I did all this training to you, and you did terrible.
Well, this was beforehand.
Oh, okay, all right. He's good now.
We're watching. It's like, man, I never seen Anthony so quiet in his life, man.
Oh man, I was so nervous.
Couldn't say nothing.
Well, I just got smacked down on the first live court, and then. Well, he's like, hey, come do this. I was like, oh, man, I was already flustered. It was bad.
Yeah. No, that's the thing, man. It's like it's hard to talk about stuff. And people are like, dude, you know, you should talk about cornhole. You should commentate cornhole more. And I'm like, dude, like the people that are watching the live feeds are diehards, man. They know what cornhole is. They can tell when the bag goes in the hole. Like, trust me, I love commentating cornhole. I would love to commentate more about the cornhole. But, dude, the matches leading up to it are all kind of the same for me. You know what I mean? We might see some great shots in there, but situations, they're all pretty similar. You know, blocker, push through, stuff like that. Or I'll commentate if I expect a roll shot coming up or what I would do in a certain situation. But, I mean, for the most part, man, I just kind of add a different little flair to it to kind of entertain. I've never pretended to be a commentator. I'm an entertainer.
Right.
That's it. So I think that's one thing, though. Like I said, we take in the criticism. I accept all the good with all the bad, and I try and make a better product either way, whether it's a, you know, a complaint or a, you know, a positive reinforcement. But we are going to try and bring on a second person to make these commentators, you know, feed off each other. So that way we have a little bit more interaction. It just kind of keeps things going. But I mean, sometimes streaming for 15 hours a day, guys, gets tiring. I don't know if you guys believe that or not.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's not an easy job, man. Not at all.
No, absolutely, man. But from the players, the pros, and, you know, everybody in cornhole, we appreciate what you do.
Definitely.
So this is the point of the show, man. Like I said, we want to thank you for having on. But this is we want to basically give you an opportunity to just basically leave your fans or anybody in cornhole or just anybody anywhere with a closing statement. It could be a motto. It could be something you live by. It could be something you stand for. But basically just a leaving moment that you want to leave people with.
I'm a kind of continue what I've been doing these last couple of years, man. God will put you where he wants you to be when he wants you to be there. You cannot get mad at a situation that's not going your way right now, because there's probably a plan that he's got in place you don't even realize. You know, I asked God for things plenty of times in the past, and he's given me the answer, and I was like, no, that ain't the right answer. You gotta try again.
Yeah.
Like, who am I to tell God to try again? You know what I mean? Like, there was a situation I'll never forget. It one time I was like, man, you know, I was like, God, if I'm supposed to talk to this girl, draw my ticket for an airmail box right now. And sure enough, man, he drew my ticket twice back to back. I hit two air mails for $1,200. And then I talked to the girl. So I'm like, all right, God wanted me to talk to the girl. And then we got in a fight. It was terrible. We had beef and all. I said, man, I didn't ask him to fix the situation. I just asked him to talk. So he gave me my answer. And sometimes you have to be willing to accept the answer if it's not what you want.
Absolutely, man. Well, Wally, man, we appreciate you coming on the show. We appreciate you, you know, having us, and appreciate the questions you asked us. And as always, man, we respect what you do and respect what you bring to the game. Buffalo Nation, Wally Kastler, we're out.
Thanks, Wally.
Thank you.
Right, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Wally. Thanks for joining us, man.
Absolutely.
I appreciate your time, bro.
Thanks,
good
man.
Stuff, man.
Have a good day, man.
All right, y'all. Be careful.
All right, you too.